Hello, everyone. It's time again for the Living Letter Ministries radio broadcast. Like always, God is good, and he is moving mightily by his Spirit. I don't ever say that lightly. God is mightily moving by his Spirit. He's moving among people who believe him, who trust him, who thank him for who he is. People who take him at his word. People who take him at his terms. Some people, they want to enter the kingdom of heaven, and they want God to take them at their terms. But when you truly following God and you put all your trust in him, you take him at his terms. You take him at his word. And you learn from him and not try to re-instruct God to fit you. And people do that. And it hinders everything. Jesus once said, if you don't build with me, you scatter. Zechariah said that the kingdom will not be built. He said, it's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. The Lord revealed the truth to us. Our ministry and ministry itself is not just ministry only. It is also simultaneously warfare. We are warring against our enemy, Satan, who used to be an angel called Lucifer. And the only way to win is to fully trust God. The Lord has to prepare us to do his will. And it won't work any other way. In the early 90s, the Lord told me that the biggest problem in the church is my people don't follow me. They don't follow his lead. They want it their way. They want their ministry on their terms. And I've watched, and I've told people about this. But they always have a good idea to do something another way. Very few people heard this message of following God. And some people do follow God. And they see the miracles. I tell you all the time how people get healed at church, at the church I attend. I'm a member of. I thank God for it. My daughter was healed of Crohn's disease. But the pastor follows God. When you follow God, things change. It changes everything. But when people do it that way, they miss out. Now, we're going to continue dealing with end times. And this section of end times, we're still dealing with the shell game. The enemy did not know who the seed of woman was. And he's trying hard to find out. And he thought it was Joseph. He thought it was others. We talked about Joseph last. This time we're going to talk about Saul. Now Saul became king in Israel. Israel decided that they wanted to do it their way, and they wanted a king on their terms. So they prayed for a king so they could be like the other nations. They'd rather be like the other nations than follow God, who always proved to be mightily with them. See, the nation of Israel when they followed God, they were indestructible. Their enemies could not stand against them. And when they trusted him, they had it good. But the way the world works, and I've seen this in the church too, they look over and see what the world's doing. And the enemy makes what the world is doing look good. Or even in our music culture, in the 60s and 70s, a lot of even the 50s, a lot of the musicians that they usually came out of the church. And see, in the church, there's life. And they brought the style of singing, they, you know, a lot of them were in the church, and they took that style and they sung worldly songs. And it looked like the worldly songs were more lively, but they got it from fiery churches. Fiery churches. Churches that were on fire. And they brought it in the world, singing about lust, adultery. Just sometimes just good songs. And then when you go to church, the songs didn't sound as lively because they didn't put as much in it. You had one person on the piano and people singing, worshiping God, but some of them were out of tune. So the music at church didn't always sound as good as the music on the radio. The enemy is tricky. And then the enemy, his way of thinking is have fun right now. There are no consequences. That's a lie. Every sin has consequences with it. There's a future attached to every evil decision. What is evil? The lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. It's a deadly poison called the world system. And that's how the world works. God said, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion over it. This is how God does things. This is how the kingdom of God is built. Everything God does, it starts in seed form. Everything God does starts in seed form. That's why Christ was called the seed of woman. And the enemy could not figure out who the seed of woman was. He knew God do things in seed form. But Lucifer was extravagant. He wanted the best right now. Just like a man to get a job, he wants everything, he buy everything on credit. He didn't really pay for anything. The bank owns it. If you're driving a car and you're paying note, the bank is part owner of that car. And if you stop paying for it, the bank will totally own that car. It will take everything. But in God's kingdom, you work as unto God and he will bless you, just like Joseph did. We just got through talking about how Joseph did things. Joseph maintained a good attitude and he was not getting paid in jail. He's kept doing things God's way. Now, you, if you do it God's way, if you live in the Sermon on the Mount, and that's a good place to start. If you're following God, if you're doing things God's way, if you're following his lead, and you on your everyday job, you work as unto God, keeping a good attitude, you're building with foundation. If you're married and you love your spouse, the husband loves his wife, the wife loves her husband, and they operate according to the love of God. When the hard times come, they're going to weather it. But when people, they love people who act the way they want them to. And when the storms come, they fall apart. When they're under a challenge, they always fail. Every decision has a future attached to it. And the Lord knows this. So he will have you to do things the best way. He's going to have you take the high road. And it works. And the enemy will say, well, the high road is slow. The high road works every time. Now, this is what King Saul did. When Israel cried out for a king in their rebellion, that's what it is. They didn't want God's way, they wanted it that way, just like now. So many Christian people want things that way. That's why they can't get healed. That's why they can't go forward. That's why they struggle. They don't take time and learn God's ways and apply them. Now, healing is in redemption. You don't have to be sick anymore. But if you don't know that healing is in redemption, you don't know that God gave you healing, people are still struggling with whether it's God's will to heal. A man asked me that yesterday. I said, yes, it's always God's will to heal. Anybody that's sick, is God's will to totally heal that person. He provided for them for their healing. It's his will. It's his word. By Jesus' stripes we're healed. But it's saying by his stripes we were healed, because it was still in the mystery form then. But when Jesus took on those stripes, that's why he paid for our healing. And if we don't get healed, we're wasting what he did for us. That's like if you give your child a car and they don't even drive it. Now, if you follow God's ways, your life is going to grow. So Israel wanted a king. They prayed for a king, and so God gave them a king, but he gave them the best man possible. It said that when Kecho saw, he was the goodliest man. Now, that's an evaluation. Out of every man in Israel, he was the goodliest man. And he was tall. He was out of everybody, his shoulder, the average man was at the height of his shoulder. He was taller than all of them. But this is what Saul did. His uncle had lost his donkeys, and Saul decided to go and find those donkeys for his uncle. And he went, and he couldn't find them. He went days out looking for those donkeys. And he took the matter to the prophet Samuel. And Samuel told him that the donkeys are found, and had him to wait. And he explained to Saul and anointed him to be king. He talked to him, and he anointed him to be king of Israel. He was a man that would not give up. And that's the kind of person God select to do his work. People that would do right. Saul was foundational. And when Samuel anointed him, he became another man. He was anointed to be king. And when you operate under the anointing, it's like you are another person. Sometimes when the Lord had me doing his work and speaking his word, I say things that my mind can't come up with. It comes from the heart of God. Saul was like another man. Now, with that in mind, he did great things. He operated in wisdom. But he faltered. He started looking at the people. That was a king called Agag of the Amalekites. His instructions from the Lord was to kill all the Amalekites, all of them. Because remember, God is keeping covenant with Abraham. And that whole nation was a threat against Israel. And to bring our Savior forth, that nation had to die. And he told Saul to kill all of them and all of their belongings and keep nothing, all of their livestock, everything, even the children, everything of the Amalekites had to go. They were full of witchcraft and hatred. They were a viable threat. If God said to do all of that, they were a threat. And what happened was, he listened to the people instead of God. And allowed the livestock, he gave the people the livestock, and then he brought Agag as a prisoner. Now if you read the history, you'll see what Amalek did to Israel. You're just going to have to study that, but he disobeyed God, listening to the people. Don't that sound familiar? Disobeying God, listening to the council, listening to the board members. If your ministry is not founded on the leadership of the Holy Spirit and the infallible written word, you're scattering. We have to put God first in order to see the mighty works of God. They didn't go anywhere. The miracles are here now among people who are obedient. Now, Satan thought that Saul was the seed of woman. And when he turned and got fired, God fired him and raised up his neighbor that was better than him, which is David. Now, he tried to kill Saul. But Saul, for a time, he did it God's way. He couldn't kill him. And then Saul sided with him. He got in satanic disobedience to God. That kind of disobedience is satanic. Call it what it is. Either you're obeying God or you're not. And if you're not, why? So he got into satanic disobedience, and he got jealous of David. He didn't know who his neighbor was, but David was the most outstanding man in Israel, and David reminded him of himself. He said, "This is who Samuel anointed to be king." So now Satan thought that David was the seed of woman, and he stirred up Saul's jealousy against him. The women saying, Saul killed his thousands, David his 10,000. And man, that's when Satan really got on Saul's nerves. And he bugged him so bad that David used to play the harp. And that's when he feel the peace of God again. Otherwise, he was tormented by demons because he was in total disobedience. And when you're in disobedience, you get in gross sorrow. There's a future attached to all evil, even especially hidden evil. He tried to kill David. When he realized that David was David killed Goliath. He was happy about it. Then he heard the songs and he started eyeing David. David behaved himself wisely, and then he feared David. And David did things much better than he could. And he was jealous of David to the point that he tried to kill David several times. He threw a spear, tried to spear him to the wall. But David was so wise, he escaped out of his hand. And Saul's son, Jonathan, helped him out. So he fled. He didn't have to be jealous of David. But he tried to kill David. When David, he had an army with him. 600 men came to help him. And they were fleeing Saul, and they were fighting the enemies of Israel, doing the work of the king. And God delivered Saul into David's hands twice. And David didn't kill him. Because David was not an opportunist. He recognized that Saul was anointed and would not kill him. But he cut a piece of his robe off to show it to him. And after that, Saul didn't go after David anymore. And guess what happened? Saul died in battle. He got wounded in battle. And a young man came along. And Saul took his sword and fell on his sword. He wanted to be dead before the Philistines found him. But he didn't die. And he had this young man to kill him before the Philistines got to him and tormented him. And so the young man killed him. And then the young man came, David ran across this young man, and the young man told him everything. And the young man happened to be an Amalekite, who he was supposed to kill years before, and didn't. And then David killed him. And King Agag got killed by Samuel. Samuel took his sword and cut him to pieces. We fight a war, folks, Our whole, every, we are in the kingdom of God, and the kingdom of God is at war. Now, with that being said, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Our warfare is against what we can't see. And we have to be just as deadly as Samuel was. We have to be just as willing to fight the way God told us to fight. See, we don't have to go out and kill people as much as the Old Testament Christians did. The enemy used to use other nations to try to kill Israel, persuade Israel wrong. They did witchcraft against Israel. They tried to kill Israel, suppress Israel, destroy Israel from within and without. And then there were Israelites that were rogue. They were the robbers of the people. They tried, and they worked against everything. They worked against the covenant of God, just like the sons of Korah in Moses' day. There were always somebody on the inside that was an enemy. There were Israelites, and there were nations on the outside that hated them because Satan hated them, because he was looking for the seed of woman trying to stop it. Now, when Jesus came, he gave the whole world salvation, whoever wants it. So now Satan tries to kill Christians through religion, through rogue religions, just like that they were idol nations. He used idol religions. Lies, deceit, deception. Jesus even prophesied that the day would come where they will kill you thinking that they're doing God a favor. And now there are Muslims that hate Christians. There are people that hate Christians. There are groups that hate us. But they're not our problem. Satan is the root cause of that problem. All you have to do in every confrontation is tell Satan he can't use his puppets. And it stops it. You live for God. Submit your life to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you every time, according to your faith. So your faith has to be there, or you can get killed. I pray for my house all the time, my children, my wife. That's my house. And then I pray for my father's house, my sisters, and their children. I'm a priest. I can do that. I'm a king because God gave me authority. And I tell Satan what he can't do to my family. And I protect them. And I don't even leave the house. And sometimes when I see problems in the world on the news, I intercede for people that the enemy is trying to kill. I've had good success stopping Satan at his tracks. I don't fear him. We don't ever need to fear Satan. He's just a liar. He has nothing. He was stripped. He depends on people to be deceived. He depends on people to do what's wrong. He depends on people to do his murder. He depends on people to do his witchcraft, to do his bidding, to lie, to hurt others, to try to live off others. I once asked the Lord, I said, Lord, where do problems come from? Because I was taught at this church that God gives you problems to help you grow up. And that's popular among some holiness churches, not all, but some. And that was the spirit behind this, folks. I fought this thing for a long time. And I started growing in the word and listening. And that doctrine never sat right with me. It just didn't. It wasn't right. It was foreign. It wasn't God's word to me. Never was. But I heard it. People amened it just like they always will. And the pastor believed it. But it didn't set right. The Holy Spirit in me just wasn't happy with that. See, the only word, the anointing is perfect. But error is not. The Holy Spirit don't sanction error. So error is not anointed. Has no power. Just words, just dead words of Satan. That's all it was. It was a doctrine of a devil. Because it was inspired by Satan. God give you problems to make you grow. That's a lie. I said, Lord, what do you give people problems to make to help them grow? He said, problems come from Satan. Lack of knowledge and other people's lack of knowledge. All the problems in your life comes from Satan, his attacks, his thoughts. You trust in his thoughts. And then your lack of knowledge, and then the lack of knowledge of other people. So I started paying more attention to the Word and operating by the Word. And the Lord had me to study. He changed my study habits. Instead of studying scriptures, I studied chapters. And when I started studying chapters, I got a greater view of what God was saying. And I saw how simple it was and how easy it can fix your life. So I started growing. And I started listening to preachers that do the same thing. One of them was Kenneth Hagin. And there were others on the radio that was a tremendous blessing. And they were doing the same thing. And the Lord would give me similar messages. Now, so I preach what God gave every time. And in the church, when it was my turn to see, our church had split. So some of the ministers, we gathered at a friend about at one of the ministers' houses, and we would take turns ministering. So when I minister, I do what God gave. And when the other ones would minister, they would refute what God gave me. And I said, something's going on. I didn't realize it for a while. But they were refuting everything I was saying. But I didn't take it personal because I love God and I love his people. Sometimes people misunderstand. And this went on for about a year. And it was getting more intense. And one day, a brother was ministering, and the Lord had given him the same kind of message he had given me. And I sat back on the couch, just, you know, I'm going to enjoy the message because it's a blessing. It's the same kind of, the title came from God, but his opinion got in it, and he changed what God said 180 degrees. And immediately I saw a spirit on him, and it was a spirit of bondage. I sat up in the chair, and I was paying. I said, Lord, what is a spirit of bondage? I knew from the inside what it was. And then the Lord said, bondage fights freedom, and it came to destroy the Elder Lewis's. It came from his uplines, came to destroy his ministry and his downlines. I said, whoa. So I rebuked it. But I didn't tell them. I wasn't led to tell them. I didn't believe they'd believe me anyway at that time. But bondage fights freedom. The Word of God sets you free. It totally sets you free. You will live like Joseph. If you totally trust God's word, your life will be like Joseph's life. God will be able to use you mightily. If you can trust him without faltering, if you can stick with it, God can take you places, do things in your life. But if you teach error, don't expect that. It's not happening. If you deviate from the Word of God, don't expect him to use you mightily. It's not going to happen until you do it God's way. When I saw that spirit of bondage, I said, this is where the problems come from. The people were not my problem. It was the enemy. And I knew that. I knew it was the enemy, but then I saw the enemy. on the man that was preaching, on Steve. I saw him. I said, this is what I've been fighting. And it came from Elder Lewis's uplines. All the pastors that were ahead of him, the bishop, all of them, came to destroy his ministry and all of his downlines. And I was one of the ministers under his ministry.